going down? It's your boy T. Cole, and this is the Outnumbered Effect podcast. So today, I have Jamal and Jermaine Dooms from Cajun Eats. How y'all doing today?
All right, man. How you doing?
Man, doing great, man. Appreciate y'all coming down. Been going to Cajun Eats, I guess, for about a year now. Last year was my first time going out there. I live pretty close, so I'm always looking for some good Cajun Southern food. So happy to have y'all on.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Appreciate you having
us. Y'all had a birthday yesterday?
Yeah, our birthday is this Wednesday on the 10th. We celebrated all weekend. Yeah.
Hey, happy birthday, man. My birthday's on Friday, so Scorpio season.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. You already know. So did y'all always have a passion for cooking, or y'all just wanted to open up a restaurant? How did it all get started?
We come from a family of cooks, our whole family, you know, and our dad he always wanted a restaurant growing up. That's all we heard him talk about. So, you know, it just kind of came down to us. And, you know, when we came out here to go to college, I started cooking more because we did not like the food out here. They didn't have what we were used to out here as far as that authentic Cajun food. So, you know, started cooking and started doing events and things and went from there, and it just all kind of fell in place. But I guess it's always been like a dream that kind of just, you know, trampled down to us, and we just, you know, made it happen as a family.
That's awesome. So you said your dad used to cook a lot for y'all. Did he play a big part?
Yeah, whole family from dad to mama, grandparents, everybody, you know, but my dad always had he always had that passion. Like you said, he wanted his own restaurant. He always talk about it. He would always say, man, I put these people out of business, you know, like in a funny way, but yeah, like he would always say that growing up.
That's dope, man. That's dope. So did he always want to open up a Cajun restaurant like y'all, or was just, he just wanted a restaurant, period?
I think, of course it would have been Cajun food. I think we kind of definitely took it and put more of a twist on it. And as far as the kind of recipes that we have, you know, that probably different from what he would have thought of outside of your traditional Cajun, you know, regular thing. But it's all working out, you know.
That's fire. Where are y'all originally from?
We're from Beaumont.
Beaumont. Okay.
Yeah, Beaumont. Right south of Houston. And then the rest of our family is pretty much from Louisiana.
Ah, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, because it's real big Cajun out there.
Yeah.
I only been in New Orleans once, but the food is fire. Yeah. Food is fire.
Oh yeah, for sure.
That's like the biggest part for me wanting to go back out there, just to have some more of that food, man. Cause you really can't get it anywhere else. I mean, you know, since Katrina, you know, New Orleans, I mean, Houston has a lot of New Orleans people there. So you can get a lot of that stuff out there too. But I mean, there's nothing like going straight back to the source, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. To the
roots of it. What was the dish that you had growing up that just made you just fall in love with food and the passion for cooking?
Oh man, it's a lot. I mean, I would honestly probably say soul food. We grew up on, you know, of course, like fried fish. That was an every Friday thing for us. But outside of that, like, you know, soul food was kind of what we grew up on too. So it's like my mom cooked every day. My daddy, you know, He is really the one who taught my mom how to really get in the kitchen and do her thing. So my mom cooked every day. We probably went one day a week where we went out and got something to eat. But other than that, home cooked meals.
Like rice and gravy.
Smothered pork chops and greens. Just your traditional soul food. Like that was what we grew. That's what we was raised on. Red beans and rice. Beans and rice was like an everyday thing.
Mm-hmm.
But our favorite dish for us is crawfish. So
both of y'all.
That's how we started this.
That's how we started the business. Our business card that we first made said boiled crawfish. That was it.
I think I remember that because it used to be advertised on the gram a lot, like just for crawfish. And exploded into.
This was in college when we started. Yeah, this was in college. And then we first started the page. It was based around just crawfish boils and events that we did during crawfish season. So we didn't get into doing all the actual food, the different dishes until last year. Two years ago, started, you know, playing around in the kitchen and doing more recipes. And so it's now it's a full-blown menu. We just started with just straight boiled crawfish and your sides and
boiled shrimp and crab. So
how long has Cajun Eats been open for?
We've been open here, this location, a year and 3 months.
A year and 3 months, yeah. And you guys only have one location, right?
Yeah. We started. We've been doing catering in the previous year, so we've been doing catering since 2017.
Mm-hmm. Put that work in. Y'all got your own brick and mortar now. I know that felt good. How did it feel on that grand opening day? How'd y'all feel?
Man, honestly, we didn't even have a grand opening. So we were at Spanish Bar and Grill in the beginning of 2020. Only on the weekends because I couldn't have full time, and he worked at a software company. So on Saturdays and Sundays, we would do crawfish over there. COVID hit, went back to the house, and we were doing plates, like daily plates, one dish a day, and people were picking them up, pre-order and pick it up. It got real crazy, and we had to come over here. We had to find a place to come and do it because it was just too busy at the house. So really, it was kind of like, I think we took a week off from doing plates, and we just said, like, we're taking orders again now, and we had the address here to put on it, and it was really crazy. Like, I mean, we really wasn't ready for what happened, but, you know, made it work. But, yeah, like, the first day, it was only my brother. I mean, I was actually at home because I had to cut hair. It was my mom, my dad, my brother, and maybe, like, two friends and my little sister. And it was crazy the whole day. Like, I'm talking about the line from 1 p.m., to 8, I think the whole day was just
we ran out of, and it was Friday, so we used to do only one thing each day. So it was Friday when we started, so that's Fish Friday. So we only sold fish baskets only, and we sold out of fish at 4 o'clock and had to go run to the store, scramble, and find some more fish because it was so packed. I mean, the normal way that it worked is you have to place a pre-order, and then we'll have your plate ready and tell us what time you're coming, and you come and get it. And that was the plan for here, but everybody just started piling in, and it just kind of turned into a, you know, service, like serving everybody and taking everybody's order. So from originally being the idea was just a to-go spot to pick up food,
it turned because into, it was COVID. Yeah,
it people started into, sitting out here eating, and we had music on, and it just, it was, like I said, man, it was crazy.
Yeah, so just
kind of had to adapt to a restaurant, you know. Yeah. And so we still making, you know, steps every day to keep it going and figuring out what's the next step.
Nah, yeah, that's dope though. Cause I mean, talking to a lot of people, especially business owners, a lot of people really got started in COVID times. A lot of people just working from home, not having jobs anymore, leaving their jobs, being fed up with these corporations. And COVID has really just showed a lot of us that we can really just work for ourselves and just create that generational wealth for our family and just have our own business and make ourselves rich versus just, you know, making the man rich or just making those corporations, you know? And, you know, if any of y'all listening out here haven't been to Cajun Eats, it's definitely a vibe. You know, they got the hookah out there. They have the DJ. I know Melissa Belize DJs there a lot. You know, I know she's done some events with Jab Entertainment. I had a chance to chop it up with her a few times and everything. She stayed killing it on the DJ booth and everything too. You know, it's definitely a vibe. So, you know, you want good music, you want good food, definitely got to go out there to Cajun Eats and check that out. It's definitely worth checking out for sure. Because there's the reason why we made this podcast is because we figured Black people, we out here in Austin, but we outnumbered, you know, there's so many of us, but, you know, we're not all being seen at the same time. And we wanted to highlight the Black and brown businesses out here and show love and give y'all flowers and everything. So being from Beaumont, living in Austin, I imagine you guys went to UT?
Oh, we went to Southwestern.
Okay, Southwestern. So I don't know how long you've been in Austin, but when did you feel outnumbered?
Well, we went to Southwestern, like I said. It's a PWI, small private school. So after we graduated, moving out to Austin, that's when we really met more of the Black people. There was all these groups out here, but I don't know if you're familiar with the Wave and you know, Black Austin and all that. So I guess to answer your question about when did we feel outnumbered, we hosted events in college, and then it just kind of transferred to after college, continuing to host events and bring everybody together. So for us, we never really felt outnumbered. It was, you know, we never really felt outnumbered. We always made stuff happen
and found a way to get everybody together. And as you can kind of see now, we're still doing the same thing, just on a much larger scale. So I know a lot of people do feel outnumbered. And of course, we'll go places and say, you know, well, yeah, you know, we may not feel as comfortable here or as welcome here. We have felt that, but we don't ever let that get in our way. We just know what we want and where we're going. So, you know, we just got to keep it moving. That's kind of, yeah, it's a team, bring everybody together. That's it.
Yep. I love it. That's what it's all about, man. Because, hey, at the end of the day, we're all we got.
Yep.
We are all we got. You know, we got to stick together. So I love that y'all create all these events. What was the last event that y'all had at Cajun Eats?
The last big event we had was the Halloween party.
Mm.
Now, you know, we do events every week. It starts on Thursday with karaoke. Well, actually, now Wednesday. We do Soul Food Night on Wednesdays. Karaoke and game nights on Thursdays. Friday and Saturday, we have a live DJ. Friday is R&B, old school night. Saturday is ladies night. And then Sunday, we have brunch and Sunday Funday. So it's a pretty, we have a lot of events. This Sunday coming, we have our Friendsgiving brunch. So we're going to have the dressing, the turkey, ham,
greens, yams, mac, yeah. Desserts. The whole Thanksgiving,
the whole Thanksgiving plate for everybody to come out here and just enjoy themselves and be with each other. You know.
So I imagine, so since you got the Friendsgiving going on a little early, you got something else going on a little later, closer to Thanksgiving? Because Thanksgiving's like, what, 2 weeks away?
Yeah, two weeks. Yeah, two weeks away. Okay. We just did it early because, you know, some people leave early and go out of town to meet their family. So
that makes sense.
Like enough time. And then they also have their own Friendsgiving event. So we want to give people enough time to do their own thing and also come do it with us.
So
we don't have any, you know, we'll be doing Thanksgiving orders, turkeys and dressing and mac and the whole spread if people want to pre-order food for their actual Thanksgiving day. But other than that, we don't have any more events for November outside of the Friendsgiving and brunch and day party that we're going to do.
And that makes sense because, like you said, most people are probably going to be gone for the holidays anyway. So then after that, it's time to start gearing up for that Christmas crowd.
Yeah, Christmas, New Year's. That's New Year's, all
that'll be the next biggest event for the New Year's Eve party.
That's dope. That's real, real dope. I like how y'all think, you know, setting it all up for success. Each holiday, y'all got events going on. You guys host, you guys have event, something going on. You said Wednesday through Sunday, basically?
Yeah, it's like Wednesday through Sunday is a different, it's a different night, you know. So trying to give everybody something to do every day. The only day we need to add on now is Tuesday. That's the only regular day we have. So,
and y'all are open on Monday or?
No, Monday is the only day we're closed. Yeah, Tuesday through Sunday.
Okay. Good to know, because I was thinking, like, damn, I think I want to low-key get a plate when we get done with this. Gonna have to wait till tomorrow now.
Yeah,
okay, bet. So what advice would you give out there for anybody that's looking to, you know, start their own restaurant?
Have a plan, for sure. Have a vision and go for it. That's kind of broad, but that's kind of like what we did, because we didn't really have no restaurant experience. We had nobody that we really knew that was already in the restaurant business. So it's kind of just jumping out there and doing it. But now, I would say definitely go around, visit restaurants, just try to look and peep at their operations to see how things are being ran. That helps out a lot. And just ask questions, you know. We're pretty open, so people come all the time and ask us questions. And, you know, we love to give the help, as much help as we can. Like I said, we're still learning. So the knowledge we do have now, we always open to help somebody and giving them a little advice to pursue their dream and that goal.
Yeah, and piggyback off that, I would say only you know your vision of what you want. And, you know, there'll be a lot of people that try to get in the way and try to tell you, well, you should do this and you should do that. And I would just say, go with your gut. You know, the beauty in it is, even though we didn't have any restaurant experience or really know anything about how a restaurant operates, we're able to build and grow and make it happen ourselves every day through just learning and seeing new things. So that's the beauty in it. And also just, it's not going to be easy. You know, you may look at this other business across the street or, you know, down the street and they doing good. And you may feel like you're not doing how you should, but you know, don't get discouraged. It's not easy. It's hard work. You know, most of your time is going to be at your business. You know, we pretty much live here. So it's Monday and we're up here right now, you know, we're closed. So it's like, you know, just don't give up. gonna be some hard work. Just keep pushing. As long as you have a big support system, that's major, then, you know, you'll be good. That's my advice.
Yeah, that's good, man. Speaking of learning, though, looking back, what would you tell your past selves now that y'all have learned so much? What would you tell y'all past selves so you can possibly do things a little differently?
I was talking about this the other day with somebody. I mean, all right, I'm going to say I don't know what I'm telling my past. I wouldn't have it no different. You know what I'm saying? Because this is just how it was written to happen. So I really wouldn't have it no different. But if I, in a perfect world, of course, I would have loved to have somebody that would have told us, you know, kind of step by step, just even as far as like finding work, you know, we didn't even know how to find workers. So, you know, that the operation of how a kitchen should be ran, you know, what type of managers you could have in place, what's everybody's roles, you know, duty. Yeah, that would have made things, you know, a lot easier, but we literally had to learn it, you know, step by step, trial and error. Like, so, I mean, in a perfect world, yeah, just have somebody come in and pretty much tell us what we need to do instead of us having to figure it out on ourselves. That's a perfect world. But like I said, going back, I wouldn't rewrite it no other way because it just makes it that much more special.
No, absolutely. Because, you know, you're going through that grind and it's your baby. You know, every day that you're going there, you know, the downs, the L's make the wins mean so much more at the end of the day when you really think about it. Yeah. You know, just talking about, you know, like you said, hiring people and not knowing how to hire people. I know with COVID and even after COVID going through this year and everything, people are quitting jobs left and right and at an alarming rate too. You know, it's hard for people to find to keep people nowadays. I went to a restaurant 2 weeks ago that had a sign that said, be aware there might be some long wait times. Also, if you're looking for a job, we're hiring. Yep. How's it been for y'all retaining people, and y'all have like a plan in place to kind of just keep the people that you have? Because it's hard to keep people at jobs nowadays because everyone's trying to either follow the money or follow their own passions.
Yeah, like our pay rates is pretty high right now, I would say. I mean, they're not going to work for the normal pay that you would have got, you know, a year ago. Yeah. So to keep people now who may be getting unemployment or may have been getting unemployment or some, or, you know, anything like that, you know, of course, everybody is getting paid pretty well. And it's just to keep them, I mean, they got to live. So, you know, you got to work to live. Now, it's a restaurant, so turnaround is turnover rate is high. But that's like you say, we just got to keep looking, put out as many ads as we can, and word of mouth. And, you know, that's
– yeah, just for us, it's just finding the people that are really wanting to grow with us because we're new, you know. We're not a Popeyes or a Chick-fil-A, you know. We're just starting, so we're trying to get those people in that – number one, get them to see your vision and get them to really take it in and, you know, treat it like as if it's theirs in a sense, you know, really come in and get the work done and care about and love the job at the same time. So, yeah, you know, it's been up and down with employees for sure. We've been through a good bit. You know, our family come in and they're like, oh, whole new, I don't know none of these people. Like, yeah, we lose them about a week. Yeah, but it's just a part of it. It's just what come with it.
Now, I bet that happens a lot, though, especially with the restaurant industry. You know, like you said, the turnover rate is so high. So when y'all first got started, were y'all the main ones in the kitchen, or did y'all have to train people to kind of cook?
Oh, yeah, we were the main ones in the kitchen. I had one guy that started with us, literally like one employee. And before we opened, he came to help me do a catering event that I had. And then when we opened up in the kitchen, I was in there every day.
Yeah,
I was in the kitchen every day.
Of course, me, him, and one of our roommates, yeah, was doing it with us for years. Yeah, he lived with us for years, so he was working with us too. And it was just really just us.
Yeah, it was just us. And then, I mean, we true story, we hired somebody that was sitting down here eating one day, and he said he needed a job, and he went and put his stuff in his car and came in the kitchen and started working. Like it was like that, you know, because like I say, we wasn't prepared to be a restaurant. It's supposed to just be
Pick up to go
and pre-order that style, but turned into having opening business hours and people just coming in. Like, and at the beginning, it was real busy because there was nowhere for people to go.
Everything was closed.
And we being outside, we had the advantage. People can just pull up and hang out, have a good time. So, you know, but we still in the kitchen. We still in the kitchen. I pretty much open in the kitchen every day. Of course, we have cooks and things, and we teach them how to make everything that we have on the menu. But we still here every day working.
That's dope. He said my man was just eating food, and he's like, well, you need a job?
Here, yeah, for real.
Take this apron.
Times. Yeah, it happened a few times. Like, yeah, especially, I don't know if you can, when we first opened, man, it used to be crazy out here. Like, on a daily, it was crazy, especially Saturday nights. It was just...
No, it's popping over there, because, I mean, you cut hair over there too, right?
Yeah.
All in that same little, I guess it's, there's trailers over there, right?
Yeah, containers. Okay.
Yeah, the containers, yeah. I've been over there a few times, and it's bumping over there. You know, you got people at the hookah, you got the DJ over there. Y'all calling people to get their plates. People are coming up getting their plates too. How did y'all end up finding that spot?
One of my clients, I was cutting his hair, and he's a chef also. I was cutting this out one day, and you know, I was cutting upstairs, and we were doing the food downstairs at the house. So he told me he had came to the spot, and they had some kitchens available just to cook and sell like plates out of. So I came over here, and we talked to the owner, and he actually came to the house and got a haircut too. And he was just like, man, you know, I told Jermaine a couple days before, I was like, man, if he had someone for me to, over there for me to cut it, that'd be perfect. And when he came to the house and got a cut, he was like, man, you can use one of those containers. You have to fix it up and everything. I'm like, huh. So we came, walked around, and yeah, it was the best option. We were looking at a lot of different places, you know, real brick and mortar places, but it just happened to be the perfect fit for us.
No, I mean, it's definitely a vibe, though, because you could be waiting for your food, go get chopped up on a Friday night, and you're already right there ready.
Ready to go.
So are you the only one that cuts in
that
shop?
Yeah, it's a solo spot right now. You know, I'll be working on getting a full shop soon. So stay tuned for that. But yeah, it's just me and them right now.
That's dope. Hey, let me know. I'll get you back on the pod for that, too.
Oh, yeah. No, I got you.
That's nice. What are some of the things that you look at? You know, you look at some of these other businesses and you see y'all. What do you think y'all do better than everybody else?
I think the biggest thing is we're here every day as the owners and interacting with the customers and making sure everybody is taken care of. And just being, you know, the genuine, that genuine service that we have. I think that goes a long way when you compare it to other restaurants that you go to. That, and then as well as, you know, as far as restaurants in Austin, you know, I mean, the restaurants are number one. You have the opportunity to have hookah, you got a DJ, you know, you got kind of a hangout at the same time, and people up dancing and just like a family reunion, basically, is the feel. So I think, you know, I think with that vibe and that feeling, I think we're winning.
No, for sure. Yeah. Y'all definitely winning, because you really don't have that vibe anywhere else. I mean, you got some black owned restaurants that are serving soul food and stuff, but you're not being able to smoke hookah. And the fact that you guys are outside too, especially during the COVID times, is definitely making people feel more safe being able to do all that stuff.
Exactly. That's a big part. I mean, you're outside, so you don't have many worries, and you know, like you say, you in a safe space, you're around your people, and there's no issues going on over here. So
what would you say the best part about being a business owner would be, owning your own restaurant?
The best part about it is, I mean, with us doing good, you know, we definitely get a lot of love from the community and people. The support is crazy, you know, we appreciate that a lot. But also just being able to sit back and look and kind of see what you did, you know, you got to go back and think about when we was in the garage at 3 a.m, you know, starting to make this food for this event we had the next day. So look at that, look at, you know, running to the store to buy posters and stand up on side of the road with them to where you at now, you know, step by step, just the progress. That's the best feeling, you know. And I always tell my brother, like, you know, this time we really got to sit back and just look at everything and take it in at once and see how far, you know, we came. So it's a blessing for sure. Yeah, and along with that also, you know, we're owners and we're able to provide jobs to people. So to, number one, be able to provide jobs for people, and also, you know, we work for one black person in our whole life. But, you know, I tell people, like, hey, I've worked for a lot of different people, and to be able to work for your own is a good feeling, and to be able to provide somebody with a job. And not only a job, but, you know, like, we're open book. So
you know, we drop knowledge. If you ask us questions, whether you trying to buy a house or buy a car or anything, you know, like to be able to be that that information, that book to for people to have, you know.
Yeah,
we you got a job, we can guide you on, you know, whatever you want to do in life, past working here. If you have any more dreams, we have vendors and people come up and set up and sell their product out here. You know, networking is a big thing for us, and that's how we started wanting to set up and do pop up. So just to see the whole thing unfold, you know, giving everybody just an opportunity, that's the best part about it.
That's good, because at the end of the day, it's all about that younger generation, because we got to build them up, you know, because we need more Black millionaires and Black billionaires. And it starts with us. You know, we got to teach them so they can be better, so they can continue to teach, because that's how it is for them. You know, so we got to come up too. That's the only way that we're going to be able to monopolize the game and take over. You guys see yourselves opening up another location anytime soon, or
not another location? No time soon. We definitely are still in the process of getting this right. You know,
I hear that.
To people, it might be right, but you know, we got a lot more to do. And then, you know, in a year or so, you know, we definitely want to think about branching out and doing something else in another city or something like that.
Now, I know y'all definitely do great. And whatever y'all choose to do, because Cajun Eats is killing it right now. Definitely got to check out one of those brunch days. I haven't been to any of those yet. I've just kind of came by and just kind of kicked it for a little bit. But I definitely got to check out some of those events y'all are having.
Yeah. We do brunch on Saturday and Sunday. But Sunday is definitely the bigger brunch.
Yeah. Everybody loves to go to brunch on Sunday. That's the day for sure. Exactly. Saturday brunch, you don't really see that at too many places. But it's always good to have, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. I get them acclimated to it, you know, I'm not used to it. So that Saturday day thing going be real nice.
So everybody that comes to the show, we always ask them, who are their top five rappers? Y'all got top five?
Yeah, I got a top five.
Okay.
In no particular order.
No order, okay.
Yeah, I'm going to go Drake, Lucci, NBA Youngboy, J. Cole, Rod Wave. Yeah.
And Rod Wave. So you said Drake, Gucci, NBA Youngboy, Rod Wave, and J. Cole?
Yeah, I said Lucci, not Gucci.
Oh, Lucci.
Lucci, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm an R&B guy, so.
So you top five artists? That's cool, too.
Top five artists, let me see. I'm going to go with, I'm kind of old school, all right, like Anthony Hamilton.
Okay.
You got John Legend, newer artists. You got Giveon. Let me say Summer Walker.
Yeah.
And who was the last one, man? That's tough. Then I guess I'll go with Rod Wave as far as on the rap side.
Rod Wave?
Yeah.
Nice. You liking that new Summer Walker?
Yeah. I really haven't had a chance to jam it. Yeah, I heard her and Ari Lennox. That one real hot right there, but I haven't even had a chance to sit and go through the whole album. And Session 33. She killing me with the Session 32 and 33. Hey. She couldn't do that.
Yeah, no, Summer's a vibe, man. I get those 90s vibes from her for sure. Yeah. Giveon's killing it too. Gonna need to hear another album from him soon, something a little longer.
Yeah. We need some male R&B singers out there.
I feel the same.
They're killing the game right now.
Yeah, I've been saying the same thing, man. There really isn't a lot of male R&B singers like that, man. Yeah. I like Brent. You know, Brent is cool too.
Yeah, a little more on the pop side for me, but you know, actual R&B. But he doing his thing too, though.
Definitely.
A lot of underground male singers that people don't know about, a lot of underground ones. Like Samote is probably one of my top right now. I don't know if you know who that is.
Who?
Samote is S-A-M-O-H-T.
I'm going to have to look him up on my Spotify right now. Spelled it?
S-A-M-O-H-T. I think that's how you say it, Samote.
Okay. Yeah. He popped up.
Yeah.
Nah, I'll definitely check him out for sure. I'm always taking recommendations for different people to check out and everything.
Sure.
Definitely. But hey, appreciate y'all coming on. Thank you so much.
Yeah, appreciate you having me.
Oh, we!